All right, good evening. Good to have you all here tonight. I missed last week, but I did listen to the MP3 file, and I heard my son say, well, good evening. Thanks for coming here tonight. He did his best imitation as he could. But no, I appreciate Randy doing the morning services and Bob doing the evening service and keeping the momentum going on Scripture memory so we don't lose track. You bring your cards with you tonight? Got your Scripture cards on Holy Spirit? Hope so. Cards there. Cards there. Any cards? She's scrambling. They're there. Okay. Had that guilty look, but you were rifling through your purse, so I figured you had them. All right, good deal. Let me start with a word of prayer, and then we'll get right to it. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, it is a blessing to study your word, not only in our formal Bible study classes, Father, where we study about your word and we study the depths of your word, but this class in particular has become very special. At least it has to me, and I thank you for it. The opportunity we have to hide your word in our heart, to memorize it, to dwell on it, just to meditate on it, to focus. And I thank you that the discipline of Scripture memory forces us to focus. And so tonight, as we review the verses we've already had, and as we look forward to the verses that are still coming up, Father, we just pray that in all things your Son would be glorified. And we thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, we have 2 weeks that we've covered so far related to the Holy Spirit, weeks 11 and weeks 12. Week 11 and week 12, so you should have a total of 4 cards. Of course, there were 9 weeks prior to that. Week 10 was a review week, and 2 cards for each of those. If you have those, mine have been pretty mangled and sweated upon, and I need to just rewrite them. To have a, which is a fruitful exercise anyway. Just focusing on the recent segment that we're dealing with, this module is titled The Holy Spirit. In the Holy Spirit, we have 4 topics, 4 memory jogs that we're looking at. Do you remember what the first one was in week 11? It was a Bible verse from 1 Corinthians 2:12 that the Holy Spirit helps you to do something. Helping you to understand. That's right. Helping you to understand. And we had a verse there from 1 Corinthians 2:12. And then the second verse that week also came from Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. And that was also related to the Holy Spirit, but it was related to what facet of the Holy Spirit? Or what was the topic there? Anyone? Fellowship. Excellent. Fellowship. Good. So fellowship from 2 Corinthians 13:14. And then this last week we had the Holy Spirit. What was topic number 1? Do you remember in the first card? It's our verse in 1 Corinthians 3:16. What does the Holy Spirit do? Lives in you. Excellent. And then from Romans 14:17, the Holy Spirit does something else. What does he do? He brings joy. Very good. Excellent. So helping you to understand, fellowship, lives in you, and brings joy. And these are important, don't you think? You know, these are universal. These are true for every born-again believer. From the oldest of us here, I'm not looking at anyone, to the youngest of us here, okay, looking at the little ones here. If you're a believer, if you're saved, all right, then the Holy Spirit lives in you. The Holy Spirit helps you understand. The Holy Spirit brings you joy. The Holy Spirit provides the fellowship. And so we're thankful for that. All right, let's start with this week's verses. They're the newest ones to us, right? The newest ones to us. And I heard this morning that the Marines have these verses down. Is that true? Everybody? The whole family? Both verses? All right. Well, would you like to recite as a family? All together or one at a time? Uh-huh. Different translation? Okay. Well, no, let's do the different translations one at a time then. Okay, outstanding. There you go. That's it. Thank you. That is outstanding. I was in a hotel room last weekend with Sharon up in Dallas, and we downloaded these MP3 files off the website. And I learned for the first time that sometimes there's a very prolonged silence on the MP3 file, particularly if Christopher or someone's going to stand up and run through a long list of verses. So if you are listening to the MP3 file and that long period of silence, you were wondering what was going on, that was an entire family reciting two Bible verses together, and it was just absolutely powerful, and you really need to be here live and in person and not just sitting at home listening to MP3 files. So I would encourage you to try to come to as many of these as you can on Sunday nights at 6 o'clock. Okay, who else do these two verses this week and would like to stand and recite? Irma, go ahead. What, you do the NIV translation? Okay, please. There you go. Thank you. And we have a King James in the room. Do you want to recite for us? In spirit or ghost?
I have the Holy Spirit in my version.
Really? Yeah, there are different King Jameses out there. Okay, Holy Spirit. All right. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. All right, excellent. Any other translations? These are both pretty short, and because they're both pretty short, there's not so much variety between the different translations. I did like the Holman in the God Lives in You, 1 Corinthians 3:16. Don't you yourselves know that you are God's sanctuary and that the Spirit of God lives in you? And that actually, the difference between temple and sanctuary is actually important in the both Hebrew and Greek, in the sense that temple could refer to the entire complex, the outer courts, the outer holy place, the inner holy of holies and so forth, whereas the inner sanctuary is only that innermost place of intimacy, that innermost holy of holies. And that's truly what's spoken of, as the Holy Spirit is, we are a temple, that is a naos, an innermost shrine. So I do like the way that they did sanctuary there in the home, and I thought that was outstanding. All right, how about from the week before? Do you still have those down, or did you forget those in order to learn this week's? From 1 Corinthians 2:12 and 2 Corinthians 13:14. Fallon, do you have 1 Corinthians 2:12 about helping you to understand? Okay, how about 2 Corinthians 13:14? Yeah, there you go. You know, Todd Kennedy, Pastor Todd Kennedy, did I tell you this already? At Spokane Bible Church, that's what he uses as his benediction, as his farewell at the end of every Bible class. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And that's his departure. All right. Now we have received, not the Spirit. Remember this one? Yeah, we may know the things freely given to us by God. And that's one that actually has more variety in the English translations because it's longer. And there's different ways to render the verbs involved. The NIV uses understand, and the Holman uses understand. Whereas NASB, New King James, King James all have know. And, know fully, know completely, understand is not, I don't know, it's... I think I'm liking understand better than know as it relates to that, which means I prefer the Holman to the New American Standard, but that's anytime you're dealing with a translation, that's what you're putting up with. As I said before, I think we probably ought to be memorizing these all in Greek anyway, right? All right. But then someone will get real technical and smart and say, yeah, but which Greek text? Are we going to study the Nestle critical text? Are we going to study the majority text, the Byzantine text? What Greek manuscript are we going to read from? Okay, well, good. Other recitations tonight. Anyone? Have I not called on you and you wanted me to call on you? Yes, ma'am? You want to do all four of these? Or you want to do all 22 of these? Let's see, we had 9 weeks and then 2 more weeks is 11 weeks. Oh, just the Holy Spirit ones. Okay, there's 4 of the Holy Spirit ones. Sure, run them top to bottom. The ones we haven't learned yet? You have done those already? You're getting ahead of us? Okay, go ahead. Uh-huh. All the ones from the Holy Spirit section. Okay? Okay. Sure. Excellent. Amen. That's it. Good job. Good job. Excellent. 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 Well, thanks for coming. Good to have you tonight. Absolutely. It's your turn next, so you got here right on time. All right. We do have new verses to introduce, but before we do, and Irma knows them all, but before we do you have some verses you want to recite for us tonight? Okay, from last week? Excellent. 1 Corinthians 2:12. That is perfect. You were in Miami, I know. Wasn't that great? But we're happy that Miami didn't keep you. We're happy that the Lord brought you back. That's outstanding. Excellent. Okay. Susanna. Yes, Ave can say the verse. Okay, Ave. Go ahead. There you go. All right. Outstanding. You know, if the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, Do you qualify? Do you have that? Yeah. Do you have God's righteousness? How do you get that? You're saved. And peace? How do you get that? You're saved. Jesus provides that to you. My peace I leave to you. And joy in the Holy Spirit. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is He provides these things. So that means that Ave and all the young ones and all the rest of us in between, we qualify. This is just powerful, and I appreciate that. All right, any more recitations? Other opportunities? Everyone that walks in the door has to recite a verse. That's a, oh, hi. No, I'm teasing. Teasing. All right, good thing we're a grace ministry. That's outstanding. You do the loved one? Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, we did a unit where we had love in these. Okay. Excellent. Perfect. Outstanding. All right. Excellent. Thank you. Other recitation tonight? Anyone want to do the I Am's? God's plan of salvation? We can go all the way back to the beginning of some of these early ones. No, that's good. That is outstanding. All right, let me give you the new verses. Well, no, first I'll read the chapter, and then I'll give you the new verses. How about that? You did 12 last week, is that correct? Okay. I couldn't remember. What's that about? Oh, I told you this story already. I have a book in my office, in my study, in my library back home. And it says, how to boost your memory. Have I told you this already? Honest to goodness, true story. I can't remember if I've read that book. And I've been tempted to go ahead and just reread it again anyway, but it's too much fun to tell the joke. So as long as I never do pick it up again, I look at it on the shelf every so often and say, you know, I can't remember if I've read that book. No, I've never written any book, ever. Almost, I'll talk to you after class. All right. Writing in books. Okay. Pressures. It is not the pressures of this life that keep young people and adults from memorizing God's Word. I'm sorry, let me start over. Is it not the pressures of this life that keep young people and adults from memorizing God's Word? Think about it as we examine some of these enemies and see if this may not be the area where your problem lies. First of all, the pressure of time. Now, what gets me is if you take a look at the year this was written and the world in which we live today, I just think it's accelerated all the more as far as the time that's we seem to have less and less of. But anyway, the pressure of time. Over and over again, people say, I just don't have the time to do it. There is no denying the fact that we all seem to be pushed with more things to do than we have time. But as you honestly reflect upon this dilemma, is it not generally true that we all manage to find time somehow for those things that we really desire to do? We take care of those things that seem to matter most. In the final analysis, it is a matter of setting up the right priorities. How many days do we rush out to meet the world, having spent 50 minutes bathing, perfuming, and arranging the outer person, and only 10 minutes on any aspect of feeding on God's Word, nourishing the inner self? Time is indeed very precious, and we are instructed to be redeeming the time because the days are evil. Ephesians 5, verses 16 and 17. They are evil. They are also very brief. Often the plea of insufficient time is advanced by pastors and other busy Christian workers. It is primarily to all of us who engage in some form of the Lord's work that Dr. Webb Garrison directed his poignant remarks some years ago. "Dare I say it," he began, "I wonder whether perhaps more of the Lord's work would be done if Christian leaders, paid and volunteer, would divert half an hour a day away from activities that produce results on the statistical tables and zealously spend it memorizing and repeating Scripture. Indeed, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits." 2 Timothy 2, 6. And let me just add to that. In all my training under Ralph, and this is not to criticize Ralph, but in all my training under Ralph, he never did stress Scripture memory. And yet I knew that Dorothy was doing it, but I didn't think that Ralph was doing it. And what I actually learned was that Ralph wasn't doing it, not at the time. He did later, after he retired from pastoring and he and Dorothy found ways to fellowship in truth. Excuse me. But I'm talking about Ralph, and I'm not being critical of Ralph. But it just, he was busy. He's pastoring. He's teaching. He's training me. He's pursuing ministry. He's doing tons of things, and he's pastored for 40 years. And so obviously he knows the Scriptures because he studied it and he's taught it. And it just kind of didn't really strike me that that Ralph would even need to, you know, memorize Bible verses. And I kind of got it in my mind. All this was pride, I'll be honest. All this is just pride. The pride of a seminary student learning from Ralph, thinking, well, you know, Bible verses and Scripture memory, that's good for kids. It's good for Bible school. It's good for growing up and all that. But, you know, once you're older and you've been in the Word forever, it's not really, you don't have to do flashcards and learn Bible verses and things. Boy, how wrong was I, you know? And then I go to Ukraine, my first trip to Ukraine, and I'm sitting there in Jim Meyer's living room, and Jim Meyer says, "Give me a verse. What are you memorizing this week?" And I thought, what am I memorizing this week? I was able to give him a verse because I was studying something for teaching it, but I wasn't sitting down and memorizing. And I said, "Well, what are you memorizing this week?" And he wasn't memorizing a verse, he was memorizing a psalm. The whole psalm, all the verses, top to bottom. And I realized, I said, you know what, maybe it's not just for kids. It made an impression on me, made a huge impression on me. This was something that Jim and Phyllis Myers are doing. And so, anyway, I just wanted to share that, confess a little bit here tonight, get it off my chest. But I want to thank you, parents, for doing this exercise, husbands, for doing this exercise. It's going to have value, eternal value, with your children, and I do appreciate that. All right. Even 15 minutes a day spent thoughtfully and concentrating on the Word would make a big difference. Do you think you could afford that much time on a regular basis? 15 minutes. The point is, we can make the time if it's a priority for us, for anything that we want to make the time for. The pressure of earning a living. There's another pressure. The job, home chores, school requirements, all other cares of this life seem always to assert themselves convincingly against spiritual pursuits. We feel naturally obligated to place them first. There is no question but that we do have to take care of these legitimate responsibilities, but here we must give due attention to the words of our Lord. "Take no thought for your life," he said, "what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat and the body more than raiment?" And in fact, our scripture verse for this week, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It's not eating and drinking. If you're all worried about, you know, food, God's going to provide for that. Put the priorities right. Your Father knows you need these things. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So how does that sound? Do you think that perhaps you should give priority time to assimilating the Word of God? The pressure of feeling incapable. I probably should just skip that one because that gets too convicting for me. I'll read it. Incapable. So often we listen to the excuse that I just cannot memorize. I just can't do it. Most frequently this is spoken by adults, It is an interesting phenomenon that although children do not generally understand the Scriptures as well and do not possess the same measure of appreciation for the Word, yet they memorize faster and retain longer than the average adult. One reason undoubtedly is because they are largely free from the cares of this life. But I think a greater reason is the fact that they're actually humble to embrace the Lord for what He says. Isaac Watts, the great hymn writer, made some interesting observation many years ago. He said, "In old age, men have a very feeble remembrance of things that were done of late, that is, the same day or a week or a year. The brain has grown so hard that the present images or strokes make little or no impression, and thereby they immediately vanish." He states further that as we get older, the brain shrinks and hardens from lack of use, and that the best therapy for the brain is to exercise it in memorizing, and of course, the best thing to memorize is Scripture. And this is something that Ralph testifies to his father, even with the Alzheimer's, even with all the confusion and the dementia. He never lost the Scriptures that he had memorized. He could recite Psalm 1, he could recite Psalm 2, he could recite the Bible verses that he memorized. Now, he had all kinds of other confusions. He thought Ralph was his brother Ernest. He thought Dorothy was his wife. He thought, he had tons of confusions. You would meet him, and then the next day you would meet him all over again because he didn't remember meeting you the day before. And so he just relaxed about it, and you enjoyed every fresh introduction every day. But he had his Scriptures. And to me, that's a powerful testimony, and I'm very thankful for that. I like where this goes next, too, understanding that when you use the language of can't, you are speaking bad language. You're using bad language. You're not using God's language. God's is the language of can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Where's that verse found? Can't remember? Okay, Philippians. There you go. Yeah, Philippians 4:13. Good. Good, good. All right. Let me skim through the rest of this. There was one other funny story. I thought I liked this. In my early years, a lady came to me after a service in East Texas and said, "I simply can't remember anything because my mind is like a sieve. The word just runs through it." Maybe I was not very polite, but I replied, "Keep memorizing the word, sister. It will keep your mind clean while it's running through." Okay, we probably say things in our younger ministry that we regret later on. But think about it, though. If you're ultimately not successful and 10 weeks from now you can't recite all 105 verses, is there still a value for the effort you put into it week after week after week? Of course there's a value. And even if it's not immediately recitable, if you hear it in a Sunday morning sermon, it's going to jog your thinking and go, "Oh, I know that verse. Oh, that's that Bible verse we had." And it starts clicking. It starts connecting. And that's a neat thing when that starts happening. Finally, satanic resistance. Apart from all this, we must always remember that Satan hates the Word of God and will move heaven and earth to keep you from assimilating it. This is probably Satan's best-kept secret. He's very busy in this area and will do everything in his power to pressure you with the cares of this life and with various deceptions in order to hinder you from laying up God's Word in your mind. Remember, this is a spiritual battle. And oh, I can't stress enough the lessons we have coming up in 2 Corinthians. We got some amazing things we're going to have to get our minds around. Resist Satan and his attempts to rush you and to crowd you with responsibilities of this life and the pleasures of this life. He never takes a vacation, so be on the alert, and by the grace of God, resist his subtle manipulations of your life. God is sovereign. He knows what you need. He loves you most dearly. He cares for you. He desires that you should be joy-filled and fruitful in your Christian life and service. Believe him and ask him to help you enjoy the precious word of life. Don't let the busyness of this life keep you from receiving the nourishment and blessedness that God has for you in his word. You know, we make excuses here, but how hollow are those excuses when we're standing at the Bema? When we're standing at the judgment seat and we're looking at the wood, hay, and stubble, what am I going to say? "Oh, well, you know, I wanted to, I just didn't have time. I had all the time he designed for me and I frittered it away, I wasted it. I had time enough to put up the wood, hay, and stubble, you know. Obviously had enough time for that." Okay. Then there's a section here called relaxing. if all the pressures don't get to you, then maybe we can relax. A good many years ago, at the conclusion of a service in Memphis, Tennessee, a man came to talk with me about his frustrations in trying to memorize Scripture. "I believe God wants me to memorize His Word," he said, "and I see the need of it in my life, but I just cannot do it. If I continue this way, I'm afraid I'll have a nervous breakdown." As the dear brother unburdened his problems to me, he became progressively more agitated at the very thought of his predicament. Then he stopped abruptly and turned to me with this question, "Do you have any suggestions which might help me?" "Yes, indeed," I replied, "relax." "Relax and enjoy it. You have nothing better to do." I thought, wow, how's that for simplicity, right? A number of years ago, the Lord showed me very clearly that being occupied with Him over the Word was the most important part of my life. We are so much in the habit of thinking that the things in this life which so strongly assert themselves must have immediate attention or else all life will collapse. The immediateness of the stuff and things around us becomes very disconcerting and distracting. But it occurred to me that I actually did not have to be that concerned about how long it took to memorize a certain passage of Scripture, because I really did not have anything more important or more urgent to do. This has helped me all along the way, and I have passed this observation on to many. So it doesn't matter how long it takes to memorize a passage. Just relax and relish the sweetness of the Word as you joyfully try to place the very words of God into the memory chambers of your mind. You know, can you get it down in 5 minutes? Can you get it down just reading it once or twice? Or does it take 10 minutes? Does it take 20 minutes? Do you have to read it 5 times? Do you have to read it 10 times? Do you have to hear it out loud? Well, regardless of how many times you have to read it or how many times you have to hear it, just think about the delight that it is that you get to read it, that you get to hear it. It's not a have to, it's a get to. And man, you know, I used to say when I left the Army, there were unpleasant things at work and unpleasant things and different things. But I would console myself and I'd say, well, it's better than doing push-ups or sleeping in the mud. You know, meaning that, you know, it's okay. Not really pleasant, but the Army had it a lot worse. You know, our soldiers in Afghanistan today have it a lot worse. The conditions they're living in, the things they're facing, getting shot at and blown up and everything else. So, yeah, really, it's better than doing push-ups or sleeping in the mud. You know, I get to read a card, and I can read this 10 times a day. I can read it to myself. I can read it out loud. I can talk to my kids about it. And that's a treasure. Are we not wealthy? In Proverbs 15, what do we read about wealth in Proverbs 15 tonight? That in the righteous, in the house of the righteous, is great wealth. And it's far above rubies. Think about it. I have a chance to sit down with my children and talk about Scripture. What does the pagan have a chance to do with their children? All right? You know, this is what we have in common. We have our salvation. We have our eternal life. We have the Word of God. If we didn't have that, what would we have to talk about? We would have no harmony. Alethea would be talking about Taylor Swift. I'd be talking about Weird Al Yankovic. Okay? We would just have conflicting musical tastes. I'd be going to see Gladiator, and she'd want to see one of those girl movies. I don't know. That's how lost I am. Okay? I'm a dad of a teenage daughter, so pray for me. But we can talk Scripture. We have that in common. We're saved. We have great treasure. How wonderful is that? All right. The last little bit here. And so with all the Scripture available in our long-term memory, we may learn to resist pressures to be about other duties and to relax and revel in the wealth of God's Word. I often think of how relaxed and relaxing the Word of God really is. Meditate for just a few minutes on Psalm 63. The psalmist awakens and at once thirsts for a renewed sense of the Lord's presence. Is that the first thing that hits you when you wake up? Or do you wake up lusting after a coffee pot? You know, you wake up thinking, coffee, I need coffee, right? Or years ago, I'd wake up and I wanted to smoke. Ooh, back in my smoking days. But that's terrible, isn't it? First thing you think of when you wake up, okay? Should I not have confessed that to the congregation tonight? All right. I wasn't a pastor back then. All right. But think about what's the first urge, what's the first impulse right when you wake up? The psalmist in Psalm 63 said, I pant, I thirst for your word. The psalmist awakens at once and thirsts for a renewed sense of the Lord's presence. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, and my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in thy sanctuary. It is quite obvious that this man is occupied, mind, soul, and spirit, with the presence of the Lord and not with the schedule that lies ahead of him for that day. Not jumping up thinking about his business meeting at 9 o'clock. Thinking, you know, wondering if he's ready to tell the lies that his boss wants him to tell to the clients, you know, and all the worries and concerns about this earthly life. In the next verses, 3 through 5, there's an expression of grateful praise. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. The thought of the Lord's presence and his loving kindness is regarded as better than life. The day seems to have passed quickly as the pilgrim was occupied with the Lord. All through his day, his soul followed hard after him, in verse 8. And then at evening, verses 6 through 8, in the evening he recalls God's mercies. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. So you see what happens here in Psalm 63. You wake up, you go through your day, you go to bed, and your whole day has been spent occupied with the Lord. Praying with him, meditating with him, thinking about him, talking to him. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. How many hymns do we have to talk about in the shadow of his wings? Do we understand where that comes from, and do we apply the doctrine? My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. He rejoices in the Lord's protecting and sustaining care. All right, so that's chapter 13. We'll read chapter 14 next week. All right, new verses for next week. Weeks 11 through 15, the Holy Spirit at work. And let's... Oh, don't do that. All right, week 13. The Holy Spirit, keep in step with. From Galatians 5:25. And this is one where the key is actually tied to the NIV. Galatians 5:25. Keep in step with. And in the NIV it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk. No, I'm sorry, NIV. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. The New American Standard, it says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. So the keep in step may not help you unless you're doing an NIV translation. Okay? So if you're not doing NIV, which is most of us, go ahead and change the keep in step with to walk by or walk in. If you're New American Standard, it's walk by. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. New King James, it's walk in. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Same thing with the King James. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. The Holman, since we live by the Spirit, we must also follow the Spirit. So if you're doing the Holman, then make that your topic. Make that your snippet, okay? To help you remember, follow the Spirit. Everybody clear on that? What you're going to put for a subject? Just make it compatible with your text. It's unfortunate that they did step with the Spirit. That's not going to help most of us in that verse. All right, then your second verse, week 13, verse 2. It's a long one, Romans 8:26. Romans 8:26. Helps in prayer. And that one we can keep, because that one's universal. Romans 8:26. Helps in prayer. Which is awesome. Because who doesn't feel inadequate when you're standing before the throne of grace? Okay? But the Holy Spirit, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Now, let me ask you about that. That seems pretty universal, doesn't it? We do not know how to pray as we should. Do you agree with that? Would you dispute it? I mean, if you're old, and I mean, if you're mature in the faith, and you're intimate with the Lord, and I mean, shouldn't you know how to pray? Yes and no. You still, none of us, because we have a finite understanding, none of us are going to be able to completely pray as we should. There's still going to be things we just don't know. We have to pray within the limits of what we understand, but then we have to surrender the remainder to the Lord. Say, Lord, we don't know. Okay? I mean, I know that David Pickett's mother has been declared terminal by the doctors. And so I think I know how to pray. I know a few things. But I don't know the complete, total story. I don't know everything that the Father is going to be doing in this test. With Rita, okay? Not this Rita. Rita Pickett, okay? Somebody got scared the other day talking about Rita. And that was, no, it was David Pickett's mother, Rita, not this Rita. Okay. But what is the test going to be for her? What is the test going to be for David? What about David's sister, Diane? What about David's brother? What about other family members? What is their attachment going to be to this test? What is their assignment going to be? What doctors and nurses might have the gospel testified to them? We don't know the totality of what God's going to do in this task. So we pray within the finite understanding that we have, and the rest we leave to the Holy Spirit. The Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words, with groans that words cannot express. Groanings which cannot be uttered. Intercedes for us with unspoken things, is how Holman puts it. With unspoken things. How do the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit talk to each other? Do they use words? Or do they think? Is it a telepathic connection? How do they fellowship? I think this verse gives us a clue. Because it tells us how the Spirit intercedes for us. What are these groans? We may be in store for a whole new language when we get to heaven. Wouldn't that be something? I'm kind of curious to see. All right. So, Romans 8:26, and what was the one before that? I forgot already. All right. Galatians 5:25. If we walk by the Spirit, let us also, or if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. And in case you didn't know that, that is a true first-class condition if and we do. It is assumed to be true. We do live by the Spirit. Are you saved? You live by the Spirit. So this is your appropriate walk. Let us also walk by the Spirit. It's sad that so many believers live by the Spirit, but they're walking in the flesh. They're using human effort, human wisdom. They're not confessing their sins to be restored to fellowship. And then the prolonged carnality just leaves them doomed in that walk. All right. I had one more thing, but we're at the top of the hour already. Let's see. Those are the verses. Showed you those already. Taking you through those as well. Who can climb a pyramid? Did I read you that one already? According to an Eastern proverb, there are only two creatures that can surmount the pyramids, the eagle and the snail. Somebody explained that to me during the fellowship time. Perseverance is a great Christian virtue, and it is hard to overvalue its importance in memory work. Revelation 2:3, you have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Now think about it. Especially if this doesn't come naturally to you. The blessing of working hard to do this. And does it not show devotion? Do you think it's rewardable? If You know, particularly if it's not a natural human ability and you struggle and you're praying and you're wrestling because it's hard effort, of course it's rewardable. Father's going to bless that every time. All right. Let me close in prayer. Do we have any final questions or thoughts? Anybody have a verse for me tonight? Give me a verse that's not... Andres, you got a verse for me tonight? Give me a verse. Uh-huh. John 15:9. What does it say? Remain in my love. Excellent. Thank you. Has anybody had a verse that came to them by way of application this week? A test, a struggle, a fear, but just a passage just came alive and it resolved something you were wrestling with. Did that happen at all this week? In all your ways acknowledge Him, lean not under your own understanding. There you go. I thought about, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans not for calamity. That meant a lot to me earlier in the week. I appreciated that. All right. Father, I thank you for this time together. I thank you for your faithfulness. We've got a lot going on, Father. The conflict is raging, but I thank you that we can take the time to quiet our hearts, to memorize scriptures. It's a fruitful exercise, Father. It's eternally fruitful. And I thank you for it. I thank you for each of these husbands and wives, parents and children that are going through this exercise. Everyone that's going through this discipline, Father, it is powerful. And I pray that we'll continue to bear fruit in the testing ahead. I do pray for the conflict that various members of our congregation are going through, financial tests, health tests, marital tests, a number of realms of where faith is being tested. I thank you, Father. In a couple of cases this week, we've seen some real victories, and that's not because of who we are. It's because you're faithful, and I thank you for that. We do look to you to meet our needs, Father. The world is growing pretty fearful about default or about the economy. And if we were to hit a Zimbabwe-like inflation, then our construction loan would be a problem. So, Father, we're looking to you. We're not growing fearful. We're asking for different ways to just pay off the debt, be debt-free before things go crazy. But it's in your hands. It's absolutely in your hands, Father. We can hear a trumpet tonight and go to heaven, and then unbelievers will figure out what they're going to do with this building after we're gone. So I thank you for that as well. Father, I just give you the praise and glory for all that you do, all that you continue to do. Bless our time of fellowship tonight. We thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.